Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
It is a wonderful privilege to be here once again in the house of God and be here to share a message with you guys that God has put on my heart. And, you know, like some people ask me, hey, you know, sometimes when I'm in my Uber rides, I always ask people, what's your dream job? You know, I know you're working at this factory or whatever, but that's not what you really want to do. So then they say, hey, what do you want to do? And I'm like, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing ministry. I'm doing music. I'm doing just impacting people. And that's really what I want to do. So I look forward to the opportunity to share the word of God with you guys and with all that are able to listen. Amen. So be encouraged. We're going to continue in the series. I was just sitting quietly praying. I had my headphones on today. They're kind of like the noise cancellation headphones, you know, so my kids was talking and everything and they were doing what they did, but I was zoning out without music and just praying. Amen. Just so sometimes you got to do that. Get that quiet zone. Does anybody feel me out there? Sometimes you need that quiet zone. So I just spent time with the Lord today and went to a men's breakfast with some other pastors and ministers. And the pastor was just talking about fervency in prayer. And he was like, it has to be like a hot thing. You know, like when it's hot, you're excited. It's exciting. You got to have that in your prayer life. And that was an encouraging thing to hear him say. So I prayed. And as I prayed, God met me with the word that we're going to talk on today. Amen. We're going to talk who is leading. And we're going to go to Judges chapter 4 today. Now, I've read this passage before. I've preached on this passage before, but I love how God gives you different angles on some of those same things that you've preached on. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we give your name all the honor, the glory, and the praise. Dear God, we pray to God that you be lifted up, that you be glorified through what I speak tonight. Oh God, I pray to God that this would impact somebody, that we would make sure, dear God, that we are following your lead. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So if you remember last week, we talked about who is leading, and our goal and our prayer is, Lord, lead me. Amen. We got to get to this place. I know many Christians who just believe that once you get saved, or people that confess Christ, they believe then they can do whatever they want to do. But you're missing out on the very important thing that God has for you. Remember, I asked the people, hey, what do you want to do with your life? Guess what? God has plans for your life. Point to somebody and say, God has plans for your life. Come on, come on. Say it like you mean it again. Let's say, God has plans for your life. See, you got to get excited about the plans that God has for you. Amen. Because it says in the Bible, God has plans not to prosper you. I'm sorry, not to harm you. You guys didn't like that one, huh? Not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. Amen. Now, it's important that we catch this, because when God is leading us, he's not going to lead us in a way that will harm our spirits. Let's be careful with that, because your flesh may face some kind of harm for following God. Your mind may face some kind of harm for following God. But if you go beyond this flesh, God will always keep you in perfect peace. That's key. Amen. No matter what your situation looks like right now, if you are following the lead of God, you can trust that he knows what is better for you. Amen. We've heard the old church people say, trouble don't last just but for a season. Right? But God's joy is in the morning. Amen. So as you go through something, even if it's tough, trusting and following God will give you the joy that you're going to look for. It's going to give you the peace that you are looking for. Now, Judges chapter 4, one thing I want to say about when God leads you, at times, when God leads you, it's going to be something uncommon. Now, let me be clear. I'm not going to say every time God leads you with something uncommon, because some people will be like, well, I'm just going to do this. Nobody else has done it before. No, you have to follow God's lead. And we're going to see in here, Judges chapter 4, something uncommon happens because they wanted to be led by God. Amen. So we're going to go to the story of Deborah. Somebody say Deborah. Some people call her Deborah. Deborah, Deborah. I'm going to call her Deborah today. Is that all right? It says verse 1, and we're going to just read this chapter. I like reading the chapter so you kind of get the full story. Amen. It says, when Ehud was dead, that was a judge before Deborah comes, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, remember last week we talked about the people being led by Moses, but they didn't want to be led by Moses, right? They said, listen, Moses, you got us all the way here, but we're ready to go back to Egypt. You know, we did this 40-day journey out here, but we're ready to go 40 days back to bondage. We need a leader to take us back to bondage. Look, the leader that God sent at that time was Ehud. He died, and because they had no leader, they did evil in the sight of God. It's interesting. This is important. This is why we have to be careful who we place in leadership in our lives, right? And I'm not even just talking about pastors. Definitely have great pastors in leadership, but I'm talking about the people you look up to, right? We are in a media day and age where if somebody looks famous, people begin to say, oh, I want to be like them. And guess what you begin to do? You begin to follow them. I was talking today with Bishop Ivory Harris. I was talking about Marquise Jr. getting ready to start football. And he asked me, hey, actually, no, this was with this other brother that goes to that works at Sam's Club, Larry. His name is Larry. And he was like, oh, yeah, your son's getting ready to. What did you play back in the day? And I was like, well, I started on the line. Play linebacker, then I moved to safety, and he was like, you were fast, huh? I was like, no, I was pretty normal. I wasn't super fast. Then I was like, I got moved to cornerback, and that was my favorite position, wide receiver and cornerback. And I told him, I said, Deion Sanders was my favorite player. Anybody know who Deion Sanders is? I mean, some of us, he had the little dance moves and everything. I mean, his name was Prime Time. And I used to mimic him in everything I did. He had broke his two middle fingers, right? So he used to tape them. I would tape them. I would make little paper things. So when he got down and played defense, I would do the same stance that he did. Why? Because that was somebody that I looked up to. And when he got saved, I was super excited. Like, yeah, okay, cool. He's praising the Lord before the punt come. I didn't get to return too many punts, but you know. I was just excited because that was my favorite player and I followed what he did. Now, guess what? The dangerous thing is some of these people that we look up to, they don't follow God. They do certain things. They dress certain ways that are dishonoring to God. And if you are following and being led by God, you can't do what everybody else does. Everybody, oh, that's the latest fashion trend. You got to do, 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 do. No, I can't do that. I want to honor God in the fashion that I wear. I want God to be pleased with the things that I do. So it's very important to watch who you allow to be leaders in your life. I was talking about it with somebody else this week. We were talking about Charles Barkley, and Charles Barkley was like, I don't want to be a role model. You remember that commercial? He said, I'm not a role model. And it was controversial back then, and Charles Barkley has always had some kind of controversy around him, right? But he said he's not a role model, but he didn't realize all the people that look up to him that actually followed him. So despite you saying that you're not a role model, people are going to follow what you do, especially if you have all these people following you. Cameras following you all the time. Right? It's very important that we watch who we allow to lead us. Some people will say one thing and do other things. Have anybody seen some people like that? Right? Now, I'm going to give you a rapper who told people to do the right thing, but he didn't show them the right thing in his music. 50 Cent. Anybody heard of 50 Cent? Curtis Jackson, right? In his music, he glorifies the gangster life. man, you got to be a gangster. You got to be a thug. If you want to make it, this is what you got to do. Da, 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 da. But in interviews, he'll tell people, just work a job. Just work a normal job and you could be very successful. I've crunched the numbers and if you do this. But guess what? One thing is going to speak louder. Their actions are speaking louder than just a little speech. Because every kid is not going to listen to the speech that he said. But every kid is going to listen to that music that he did, unfortunately. Right? So we got to watch who we allow to lead us. That's why I do music the way I do music, to grasp those people that are already listening to that sound of music and lead them towards Jesus Christ. Because there's a gap there that they need to find out who Jesus is. And rap music is really just talking with music behind you. And hopefully it makes sense. Sometimes it doesn't. But hopefully it does, right? Watch who you allow to lead. That was a lie from verse 1, but let's keep going. It says, so the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Heresh Hagium. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now, we constantly see a pattern with the children of Israel. They're disobedient. They get in some kind of bondage. And then guess what? God, can you save us? Now, one thing I really want you guys to get is that you don't have to go into bondage to call on God. Did you guys catch that? Because some people think you have to go into bondage. Now, I was raised in the church, got saved while I was young, and I didn't have to go into the world and make a testimony and say, God, save me from that. I didn't have to go to bondage to recognize that I needed a savior, right? And it's important because some kids, I actually, me and Michael at Seattle Christian, there were some kids that got in trouble, and the thing that they said was, I needed to have some kind of testimony for God to save me from something. No, God doesn't want you to go get into trouble so he can save you. He just wants to save you. Right? That's why we can't glamorize, oh, I used to do this and God saved me. Listen, praise God that he saved you, but God is not a respecter of persons. You can be a computer scientist and still need to be saved and didn't go wild out and do a whole bunch of things. God is able to save you. Amen. And he is willing to save you. You don't have to be on the edge of a cliff and say, God, save me. Right. God is willing and able to save you where you are right now. And it's important to know that you don't have to go to bondage for God to deliver you. Amen. You are already, check it out. You are already in bondage because of the sin nature that is within you. That's enough bondage. Amen. And if you want freedom from that, God gives that freedom. Verse 8 says, and Barak said to her, verse 4. Okay, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of, his name is Lapidoth, was judging Israel at the time. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountain of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So now God is raising somebody up in the midst of their oppression, just kind of like he did with Moses, right? They needed somebody to come raise them up and help them find out the right things to do. This says in verse 6, then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hands. Okay, so check this out. Got the word. God said, go do something. But the commander's like, I don't know. Because she said, didn't I tell you? Guys, catch that? So it wasn't the first time that she had to tell him this. So she is saying, you need to go. But we got to remember, they're in bondage. So your mindset when you are in bondage is different than your mindset when you are free. Catch that? How many times if God tells you to do something, if you're in bondage, you start thinking of all the reasons why you should not do what God tells you to do. But when you have a free mind and God tells you to do something, you do it. For example, Jesus didn't hesitate, right? I got to go do this. He wasn't like, oh, God. And somebody might say when he was in the garden, was he hesitating? No, he was clarifying. He was showing us the same thing that we would go through. But he said, God, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I'm going to go do it. Let's go. I'm ready. Okay? But Barak, it says in verse 8, says to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. This is the uncommon thing right here. Okay? Because let's just be clear. Most of the time in the Bible, women did not go out with the commander to go fight, right? Even in the USA, some of the last wars we had, the women did not go fight, right? That was just unheard of. It was uncommon. But let's find out why. Why is he saying, you come with me? It's because he wanted to make sure God was leading him. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Because sometimes we say, okay, God, you told me, God, just lead me. I'm just going to be with you. I just need to make sure your presence is with me. And Deborah was, in essence, the presence of God going with him. So we don't fault him for saying, I'm not going to go, but we have to understand why. He's saying, God, lead me, all right? If she's coming, and we already know that she is an established prophet, if she comes with me, I know everything is going to be okay. But we have to trust that God is with us the same way. If God says, go do it, I have to be assured that he said, go do it, and I'm going to go do it. Despite what it looks like, I'm going to go. So she answered and said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, catch this, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. All right, let's keep on reading. It says, now Heber the Kenite, the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zenaim, which is beside Kadesh. And they got these names in this chapter. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. All right? Now, the interesting thing is, they don't have chariots, right? Not only chariots, iron chariots. Now, let's just be clear about something. It took them a long time to make iron chariots. Not only one, but 900, okay? We have to look at it like the old cars that they had were made of steel, right? And if anybody has ever watched them make those cars, it doesn't just happen. Right? You would have to burn it. You guys have ever seen the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? If you actually watch the Pittsburgh Steelers games, usually they have little glimpses of the Steelers actually working. It's super hot. So this army, it took a lot to get this, and what they have, many other armies don't have. Right? So this army, led by Deborah, is going up against something that they don't match up to. Now, it's kind of interesting that seems to always happen. When God is on your side, everything else looks like it's bigger than what you're going against. But remember, the word of God says this, that greater is he, God, the Holy Spirit that is within us, than he that is in this world. Amen? So despite what it looks like, God is still bigger. God's plans are still bigger. So if God is leading you, despite what the giant looks like, because remember, in note, the last thing we read was they had giants. They were bigger than us. But if they would have went and being obedient to God's word, they would have went and conquered. Because God is with you. Amen? Somebody say amen. All right, let's go to verse 14. Then Deborah said to Barak, "Up, for this day is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hand. Has not the Lord gone out before you?" So remember, he is following the lead of God. So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and it didn't even say they were on horses. Catch that? It didn't even say they were on chariots. They just followed him. We don't know how, but it looks like they're on foot. Somebody say on foot. Get on the good foot, right? Verse 15 says, "And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Haggim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword." And it says, "Not a man was left." Now, I'm still trying to figure out what happened to all these great chariots. Now, listen, I'm just saying, if I have a chariot and you don't, I'm running you over, right? It's an iron chariot. I can sit back and just let the horse go, right? They had the advantage in the natural. But when God turns some things, oh boy, that's a message right there. When God turns things into your favor, he can make that advantage they have fly away. Amen? This is a great thing that when we follow what God has for us, he always makes a way for those that are being obedient to him. Obedience is key still. Amen? Some people say, "Oh, Jesus died, I don't have to be obedient." Where is that in the Bible? Jesus said that if you want to follow me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and deny yourself. Okay? The biggest thing that you really all of us fight, is yourself. Every time God gives you a word, I don't know about that. I don't know if that was God. God told me to, man, you know, that's cool, but God don't know who I am. I mean, okay, I'm getting too personal. Well, how about we go to Gideon? Gideon, mighty man of valor. You talking to God? Right? You see how this constantly happens? Barak, go. Hey, man, I'm not going until I. Your mind messes up a lot of things that God is trying to do. The children of Israel. Oh, God is going to lead us. I don't know if he's really going to do it. Just trust God. I was listening to a podcast this week. It said sometimes if God tells you something, just be quiet. Right? Just be quiet and listen. Shut your mouth and listen. Right? Why do I say that? Because your mouth can dictate some of the things you do. Sometimes you just got to shut your mind off and say, okay, God, I don't know how it's going to happen, but you told me, so I'm going to trust you. Amen? All right, verse 17 says, "However, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael." It's interesting. This was, I'll tell you guys that later. "The wife of Hibar the Kenite. And for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazar, and the house of Hibar the Kenite." So this is interesting, right? Another uncommon thing about to happen. He thinks he's cool with this person, right? "And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, 'Turn aside, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear.' And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with the blanket. Then he said to her, 'Please give me a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty.' So she opened up a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, 'Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, is there anyone here? You shall say, no.' Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple And it went down into the ground, and for he was fast asleep and weary. And then it says, so he died. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said, come, I will show you the man whom you seek. And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with the peg in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Now, we don't know why Jael killed her, this guy, right? We don't know, because they were supposed to be buddies, right? But the tables had turned, and God said, destroy him, right? Because it's kind of interesting. She went to the Israelites saying, look, this is the person that you were looking for. I took care of him, right? So I definitely believe God was working in her life to make her do that. Now, I'm going to say this. It's kind of interesting. Every time I read this story, I had a dream one day, and I kept having this dream over and over and over. It was a Saturday night, and I promise you, I had this dream like 6 times in the same night. So in this dream, somebody dropped the kid off to the church, right? But in my dream, I had seen that they weren't taking care of the kid. They kept leaving this kid out in the streets. And I mean, this was a baby, like 2 months or something like that. And I just kept on having this dream. And I was like, God, what does this mean, right? So I even had the name for the kid. I was going to name the kid. It was going to be Deborah Jael. And I was like, because I had just read this, and I was like, okay, cool, perfect, right? So that day, my mom remembers this, I came with a car seat, because I was like, they're not going to drop this kid off with a car seat, and if they do, I'm just going to have to take the kid home with me, right? So I'm literally looking at the door like, man, something's about to happen, right? So I'm just watching, and nothing happens. So I go home like, what, God, what was that about? You're going to wake me up all night, right? I'm trying to sleep, Lord, and you keep giving me these dreams about some kid getting dropped off. So I was kind of upset, like, God, why did you do that to me? And then my mom said something. Sometimes just seeing a child come means that God is birthing something or God is doing something new. And I was like, okay, cool, I got the word. Let's keep it going, right? Now, when I say that, there's going to be some things that are uncommon that happens that God wants you to do. Sometimes you just have to do it. And you have to be ready. Amen? I have another dream that happened. I was at my parents' house at this time, and there was a house that me and my wife wanted to get. We were praying. I would go pray at that house early in the morning to sit on the porch, and nobody was there. I was like, yeah, I could get used to this, right? So I'm over there, and about 6 months before that, somebody actually bought the house in reality, but I'm having a dream about them in this house that they needed prayer, like there was some problems in their house. So I'm, oh, man, why did I have that dream? Lord, and I saw their faces, right? So I was like, man, God, I started praying, and he was like, go pray for them. So I get up to their house, and I'm like, Mom, I had this dream. I'm just going to go. So I knock on their door, and they're there. I see their shoes there. The cars is there, right? But they don't answer the door, and they didn't see me either. It wasn't like they came up. So I'm ringing the doorbell. I'm there for like 10 minutes. So then I leave a note and say, man, God sent me here to pray for you guys. If you need prayer, here's my phone number. So I got home, and I was like, man, that's crazy. They didn't even open the door. And my mom said, sometimes God just wants to see if you're going to be obedient despite the circumstances or the outcome. Right? Today, Monica, I saw a young lady out there, and I was like, Monica, go out there. Now, Monica was probably like, why he tell me to do it, right? I don't know. You didn't say it out loud. I'm just saying. Sometimes when I tell people to do certain stuff, it's because I feel God is leading that person, right? So she went, and she was like, can I pray for you? And the lady said, what'd she say? She said, no. She said, pray for me, but not now, right? Just just lead me in my prayers. And, you know, sometimes when you go do those things, your obedience is really what God is after. You never know what Monica's saying that to that young lady could do. Really, what it shows is that the people of God care. And despite what happened in that moment, there are seeds that were planted. So you have to be obedient and follow the lead of God. Amen. I'm going to stop there, but I just thank God for his word and that we can hear his word and we can act upon his word and follow the plans that he has in our life. Amen. Dear God, I thank you, dear God, for this day, the opportunity that you would allow us to hear your word and partake in being obedient to your word. I pray to God that you would allow this word to be clear, that your spirit would speak to us, would lead us, and that we be obedient and follow what you've called us to do, God. God, we glorify you tonight. I pray to God that your word would go forth, and as your word says, that it will not return void in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen and amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. So,
we thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.